At the time of initiation, we are receiving Diksha, or Divyam Jnanam, transcendental knowledge. Such transcendental knowledge means that we understand that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Bhavanam Janmanante, Jnanavamam Prapadnite, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. After many, many lifetimes, we come to the point where we actually realize that Krishna is everything, and that the ultimate goal of life is Krishna. It's very rare. Samahatma Sudurlabha. Sudurlabha means very rare. Mostly, it is said, Apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta maha bahu yayedam daryate jagat. Mostly, the living entities are busy with the material energy, and they're trying to milk the material energy in various ways and get some benefit from the material energy. And that is really what everyone is doing in the world. Some are doing it in a pious way by following some directions of scriptures, and others are doing it in an impious way. But mostly, people are hoping for material happiness. Therefore, Bhavanam Jamanamante Jnanavamam Prapadinte Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. It's very rare that someone comes to this point to understand that Krishna is the real goal of life. And actually, everything is meant for Krishna. It's logical, because everything was created by Krishna. He is Ishvara Parama Krishna Satsidananda Vigraha Anadira Dir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. He is the origin of everything. And therefore, naturally so, we are returning to Him what belongs to Him. Just like sometimes we take bath in the Ganga, and we scoop up some water from the Ganga and offer it back to the Ganga. Because Ganga is pure, so we want to make a pure offering, so we're offering Ganga Jal to Ganga. Like this, we are offering Krishna what belongs to Him already. Everything, even our bodies. Our bodies are also Krishna's energy. Yes. Everything in this world belongs to Krishna, including our very bodies, including our children, including our house, including all our possessions. And therefore, everything is meant to be used for Krishna. We ourselves, of course, also need to live. We need a residence for shelter. We need to eat and so on. But we're doing that all on behalf of Krishna. Yagya sistatinu santo muchante sarvakilabhisai. One should eat only yagya sista, or remnants of what is offered to the Lord. Only that which is left over from yagya. No other things a devotee will take. It says, because otherwise one gets involved in sinful reactions. Because whatever is the consciousness of the cook will affect whatever is eaten, and subsequently it will affect our consciousness. And thus, new material desires will be born. Therefore, we are careful in our eating, we are careful that our house is Krishna's house. And that we are in that house only doing things that are favorable to Krishna. That is what it means, isn't it? I mean, if you say it's Krishna's house, then it means only that what is favorable. When we are marking the body with tilak in 12 different places, it is said that the meaning of the tilak is that the body is a temple. It is not only that the body is a temple, we are actually installing deities, Om Kesavaya Namaha, and in 12 directions we are installing 12 deities of Vishnu. So literally the body is a temple when we are wearing tilak. So what auspiciousness is this movement offering to us? Therefore, early in the morning, when we rise, we put tilak. Even if we get up late and we have only 5 minutes before we go to work, we can wear tilak for 5 minutes. That is auspicious. In other words, we must try. We must try to fix ourselves in this new identity. Initiation is very much that. We just a few days ago held an initiation in Sydney, and we spoke about that topic of a new birth, a new identity, never the same. I remember that when I received sannyas, it was in the Bhaktivedanta Manor, and there was a television crew, and the television crew, after the ceremony, was asking, "So, now do you feel any different? Are you any different now?" So I said, "Well, you know, are you married?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, remember the day of your marriage, you know, as soon as you got married, did you feel any different after you got married?" Same thing, did you feel any different after getting married? If you think about it, you'll say yes. Yes. Why? Because now there's responsibility. Now there's a commitment. Now it's different. No more free life, finished, marriage, right? That's like the bachelor days are over. Now it is commitment, isn't it? So in the same way, in this way, we take a new birth because we have a totally fresh commitment, because we are making on this day of initiation the ultimate offering. We are offering our whole existence in every aspect, in every fiber of our existence, every aspect, the soul, the mind, the intelligence, the body, everything we're offering to Krishna. The spiritual master is the external manifestation of the super soul, or the mercy manifestation of Krishna. So the spiritual master is present as the representative of Krishna, and in that way the spiritual master is receiving our vows, and the spiritual master will take care of us throughout our life with these vows. But the vows are made to Krishna, and they cannot be taken back. I have an example from a tradition of monks, Benedictine monks. They have their initiation, and it's interesting what they do. When someone wants to become a monk in their monastery, then when they take initiation, when they enter, they give up their worldly clothes, and they are received, those worldly clothes. They fold them, they pack them, they put nicely packed, and then put it on the shelf. Then they give them spiritual clothes, they put on the spiritual clothes, they take the vows of initiation. And these vows are written in a golden book which they place on the altar. If someone later on has doubts about the initiation, they can go back, they can give their spiritual clothes, they will fold them, they pack them, put them on the shelves, give the old material clothes back, and they can put on the material clothes, but the name is still in the golden book. So that you cannot take back. So in the same way, we can also sometimes step out of the identity of being a devotee. Time is such a thing. We forget to chant our rounds. It's just every day you're trying, then you forget, did I chant them anyway, what can you do, you know, no time, tomorrow again, no time, and then, well, you know, I just can't manage 16, I'll manage 8, I just can't manage 8, I'll manage 4, and even that is impossible. And anyway, suddenly Krishna consciousness has disappeared. How it happened, we don't know. So that sometimes happens. But of course, we may forget Krishna, but Krishna will not forget us, and Krishna will not forget our vow. Therefore, we can never again be ordinary persons. So it is really like a new birth, because once you've taken birth, you can't go back. That's it. Right? Some people try with some, you know, go back into the womb type of therapy, but it's not real. It's just imagination, because you can't go back. Right? That's not possible. So once we take the vows, they will stay. And one devotee came to me and said, you know, I don't know, I just can't do this anymore. You know, I can't keep these vows anymore. What to do? And I said, it's like, well, you should know that for you, it's too late. It's too late. You know, it's too late. You are a devotee now. And there's nothing you can do about it. You know, whether you want it or not, you are. And you have only two options. One is to be a happy devotee, and the other one is to be an unhappy devotee. So our advice is be a happy devotee, right? And that means is to be clear with Krishna, to have no debt to Krishna. If we owe a debt to Krishna, then how can we look at Krishna with an open face? If we owe him so many rounds, or if we, yes, we have broken this and that, right? Then naturally, we cannot approach Krishna with an open heart. So in order to approach Krishna with an open heart, we must begin every day properly. In the early morning, we offer our obeisances, we are reciting some prayers upon awakening. It is said one should recite such prayers or chant the holy name. Some devotees early in the morning chant Siksastakam, while then they take their bath, then they put tilak, and then they'll chant. And in this way, they'll just remember Krishna. And that is the proper way. Krishna himself, if we read Lord Krishna's daily activities, which is found in Bhagavatam or in Krishna book, that was Lord Krishna in Dwarka, then we read how Lord Krishna would avoid inauspicious influences in the morning. Krishna would try to see only auspicious things, like a cow, like hear only auspicious things. He would meditate, he would give in charity in the morning. The whole idea was the morning was reserved for auspiciousness. How different is the worldly lifestyle, where people drink a cup of coffee on top of the newspaper, which is on the table, and like that, possibly smoke at the same time, maybe some breakfast on the other corner of the paper, and in between the horrible news. Unoffered foodstuffs, then so sinful reactions in what they eat, throw some intoxication on top, and meanwhile pollute the mind with the newspaper. I mean, that's normal. All over the in India, kagats everywhere, right? You know. So that is morning. But for a devotee, it is different. In the morning, there is auspicious sound vibration. And in that way, by hearing auspicious sound, by reciting, by chanting, every morning we are purified. And this is required because that will give us the strength to deal with the three modes of material nature. It is said that utsaha nischya daryat tat tat karma pravartanat, that there must be utsaha, enthusiasm, there must be nischya, determination. When for those days that there is no enthusiasm, then we need determination. When we are feeling weak, then we need determination. Because everyone has his days that it's difficult, but that's when determination comes in. And when we are operating for a longer period of time of determination, then the mind becomes tired. Then we need daryat. Then we need patience. We need to have the faith that Krishna consciousness is not a process of the mind. Even when the mind is sometimes experiencing difficulty in the process, we should remember that meanwhile our heart is being purified from so many sinful reactions from past activities stored in our heart. So even when the mind is not becoming peaceful, even when the mind is not becoming enthusiastic, even when the mind is not totally enlivened and happy, still we should feel very positive. In patience, daryat, wait, in full patience that all results will come. Because I'm chanting, my heart will be purified, and therefore happiness will be the result, but I have to have patience. So utsaha, nischya, daryat are very three essential principles that all of us are encountering in our spiritual life. And of course, on just patience alone, how long can one function? We are not so strong in this age in our determination. We don't have so much patience. Therefore, we need to refresh our enthusiasm. So for that, we can do things. We can make pilgrimages. We can go to Vrindavan. We can... We'll go regularly to the temple, we are with devotees, we take the trouble to go on Harinam and so on, because such things renew our enthusiasm. On the weekend, yes, the weekend is for Krishna. It's simple, the weekend is for Krishna. So yeah, sometimes I need my weekend for rest. It may be. Sometimes we need to rest for Krishna, but you know that's also there, very necessary. So, but after resting, we return to normal, right? And normal means for Krishna. The weekend is for Krishna, because the week gets so busy. In this way, we must think. I'm taking different elements from different initiation lectures that I gave in the recent period, and one of them is, we are now standing at the shore of the ocean of Prem. This is known as Premamritambo, this ocean of transcendental love. And we're about to enter onto this ocean. We are here today with this initiation, getting a little boat for you. And we're getting you in the little boat. What I'm doing with this lecture is I'm giving you all kinds of handy little things that can be useful when you're out there on the waves. In a little compartment in your boat, you look and there is utsaha, nischya, daryat, other one. Oh yeah, there he put the early morning and the transcendental sound vibration. He put all these things in the little boat. And you know, I'll be talking and talking, and it's after breakfast, and slowly your eyes are like about to fall asleep, and the lecture just goes on, and you think... you're just getting comfortable on your little mat and so on, and everything seems a little slow and taking long. And then suddenly, unexpected, I will push your boat, and then you're there, gone, all by yourself, alone on the waves. And I'll wave from the shore, but then, yeah, it's you who have to do it, of course, because you are married. You can support each other. In this age, no one is very strong, and therefore, when one is weak, the other one must be strong. So both must try to be strong. Not that one is strong and the other is weak, no. Both must try to be strong. And strong means, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, surrender means to follow all the rules and regulations. Also the little ones, not just the big things, but the little things. So personal strictness is important. We are not looking for the strictness where one is always hitting the other over the head with strictness, you know, it says in the scripture. Where's, some people, they only use the shastra to hit others, you know. Even in my marriage, in two ashrams back, I must say, whenever we had a fight, that was the time that my former wife was the best at the slokas. She would quote so many slokas. I never knew she knew so many slokas, but during a fight, she knew so many. It was amazing. Yeah. So I'm speaking these things from experience. We must give the example. Both of you must give the example. And in that way, you know, you will actually be a great support to each other. And that is what the Grihastha Ashram means, because in the Grihastha Ashram we cannot take full advantage of the temple. It's not possible. Temple devotees, they live in a temple and there is a full program, whether they want or not, it's Mangal Arati. Sometimes they don't want. I hope that today it will not happen Mangal Arati, but it goes on every day without fail. That is the nature of the temple. So therefore in the temple there is so much push to help us to overcome our weakness. In the Grihastha Ashram it is not so. In the Grihastha Ashram one has to take personal responsibility. A brahmachari, if for a few days he's not coming to Mangal Arati, he'll be chastised and pulled up, and what's going on? Pull your socks up. This can't go on like this, right? Understood. Or else, sanctions will follow. But the Grihasthas is more, it's not like that. The Grihasthas, they have to do it. It's difficult, very difficult. But together, it becomes possible. Together. So therefore, that is what I'm talking about, that both must inspire the other by giving an example. A competition, who can get up first? Who can get up the earliest? Not who can get up the last. The last one loses. The one who gets up the earliest, the first, wins for the day. Let's see who's the winner the next day. Like that, we must try and invest in our spiritual life. Like everything else, it's a matter of investment. Sometimes they say 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, isn't it? It's even if one is very talented in a particular thing, one may have talent for music, but one still has to practice music. One may have talent for cooking, but if you want to be a good cook, then you have to be trained. You can ask Kurma. Every detail is strict when Kurma's in the kitchen. Nothing is left to chance. And this temple, not only the kitchen, but actually Melbourne Temple is living by the legacy of Kurma, Prabhu. I was talking with Aniruddha about it yesterday, and how Kurma was like one of the founding fathers here in the Melbourne Temple. And especially in deity worship and in the kitchen, and then everything else was related to that, cleanliness and so on, standards, so many standards, all Kurma. Whenever we walk here, we see Kurma. That is true. I still see Kurma's presence today. Yes, it is his kind mercy upon us, right? Melbourne is a very nice temple. It is not by chance that you came here, although your home land is far away, right? It was by Krishna's arrangement that you came here, right? Because here there is a nice standard, right, and a nice support, which you will not find in the same way at home. Yeah, it is the combination of many devotees who have contributed. We have such nice education. We have Bhakti Shastri, and in previous years when I was here, I was in a seminar using examples from the Nectar of Devotion, and you know, I was asking some questions to the devotees, and they knew the Nectar of Devotion, you know, I mean in Melbourne, which is pretty good. All glories to Aniruddha. Because it is a fact that it's not everywhere like that. Right? Whenever I speak and ask questions of the Nectar of Devotion, not everybody has studied the Nectar of Devotion as much and as systematically as here. So, therefore I say the weekend, yes, the weekend is for Krishna. In the weekend, we go to the temple in as much as we can and partake in different things. And in that way, in the weekend, we are free to be ourselves. In the week, all right, we have to play the game in our profession, in our work life, or you know, the kids have to go to school, which is the same. We have to be part of the worldly side of life. But that's not really what we really want. We really want Krishna. So initiation really means all that. Okay, our spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. Saksat taritvena samasta shastra is the conclusion of all the scriptures, that he is to be treated directly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, whatever he says must be taken serious. The mercy of Krishna comes through the spiritual master, and our service is offered through the spiritual master to Krishna. By serving our spiritual master, we are offering service to Krishna. We can also try and leave the spiritual master out and do some other service for Krishna. It's possible, but to serve our spiritual master is the activity that attracts the blessings of Krishna. So that is there. Of course, our spiritual master, well, in this case, I think I made my desire clear. Please spend time in the temple, because here you will find spiritual strength and inspiration. Besides rest, work, and all these other things, please, that is all there. So the spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. The spiritual master is the captain of the boat of transcendental knowledge, which takes us across the Bhava Sagar, the ocean of material existence. And so his instructions are important because they keep us on the course in spiritual life. Then the spiritual master is also acting as our friend. He's our friend. He is someone who knows us, someone who we can trust, and someone we can reveal our mind to. And that is important. When we are in spiritual life, we should not try to tackle everything alone. Sometimes people take initiation because, well, they want to be accepted in the community, and they want a spiritual name, and they want the recognition of being initiated. And then, oh yes, a guru as well. And they like the guru best in his picture incarnation. Because in that incarnation he always smiles. Whereas in the life incarnation you never know what he may do or what he may say. So therefore, when the life guru is there, and he asks, how are you? They will say, oh, very well. And they keep on smiling. And they will never say what is actually on their mind or what is actually going on in their life. That's not right. We must have an honest and open exchange about our spiritual life.
Yeah, so that friendship is important. We go forward, because the spiritual master can help us in spiritual life. He may not have the magic miracle cure that poof, all our problems are gone, but he will guide us what we can do. We'll have to do something ourselves. It will not just be automatic. It will still. Spiritual life is voluntary, and it is always dependent on the endeavor of the devotee himself. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada was the best spiritual master. What better spiritual master could one possibly think of? The best. But still, many of his disciples were not successful, not so successful in their spiritual, in following their vows. Because everyone has his own destiny in his hands. So the spiritual master can only help us. Like Prabhupada says, when the plane is on the ground, then there is a lot of people around the plane, putting fuel, this and that, checking the tires, so many things are going on, the ground staff is everywhere. But once the plane is up in the air, you're on your own. And he says, everyone's flying his own plane. So, in that way, you're flying your own plane. Even you cannot help each other. Although you're a husband and wife, you're both taking initiation, because ultimately you cannot help each other. Ultimately, each of you is individually responsible to be Krishna conscious. And if the other is not Krishna conscious, try to make them Krishna conscious, but if they're not, what are you going to do? Still, we will go on. I'm sure sooner or later we'll get a microphone. Alright, so the main thing in all our devotional service is the chanting of Hare Krishna. It is the most important service of all. This chanting must be done very faithfully and quality, as much as we can. Here comes a man with a mic.
Hare Krishna.
Now it's slightly higher, otherwise I get a bend back, and then after a while.
Yes.
It's going down. All right, so this chanting is our first service. So all the other services, they're secondary to our chanting. This chanting, we have to, there are these offenses against the holy name to be avoided, and we have to try to think of that, to not criticize the devotees. Best is not even in our mind to think like this one is never doing that, and that one is always doing that, and things like that. Just anyway, just think of them, they're doing such nice service. Find something good and remember that and forget the rest. Because once we start dwelling on these things, this one is always doing that and that one's doing never doing this, then after a while it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then sooner or later it's going to disturb us. And such things can spoil everything. We can begin... Srila Prabhupada said that if we chant 16 rounds full of four regulated principles and don't offend any Vaishnavas, then surely this process will be successful. I mean, he said it all in one breath. So important it is. So we have to try to see the good in the devotees. I guess we have to exercise. We have to exercise this. It's like there was this book about a manager who used to catch people doing something right instead of something wrong. It was difficult, but he's waiting the whole day. Instead of catching people like, how many times do I have to tell you? Is there anybody who can do anything here? If I wasn't here, then this establishment wouldn't go on. That's the usual. But this manager was different. He would just say, that's amazing what you just did. And then glorify the person and so on. So when I read that, I was thinking, they use it as a technique, but this is actually our culture. This is our culture, to catch people doing something right. So it's a practice. We cannot do it just automatically. It's not like a mental adjustment. You know, from now on, I will never criticize a Vaishnava anymore. I've changed my mind now at the time of initiation. Good luck. Let's see. I know someone who took a Kartik vow of not criticizing anybody for 1 month. I think they lasted 3 hours. And 3 hours is not bad. You try that for a Kartik crowd. Not say anything critical about anybody. My God, that's a heavy round, heavy vow. All right, so I'll go a little faster. But anyway, I wanted this ceremony to take place on a Saturday morning so that we wouldn't have to rush it through, and we could take the time, and we didn't need to run away. There's nowhere to go to now. We're already there, in the temple, and that's what the weekend is for. So, where do you go now? From here, it's only downhill. If on the weekend you go out the temple, you can go to the shopping mall, you can go to do some mundane sports, or you can go home. It better stay here. We're already here. So I should make it very long, this ceremony. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods, like Lord Shiva and Lord Rama, to be equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. Lord Rama and Lord Shiva can give so many benedictions, but they cannot give what Lord Vishnu can give, which is liberation from birth and death, that they cannot give. Of course, Lord Vishnu cannot give what Krishna can give, and that is Krishna praying. Therefore, we understand the demigods are to be respected, but they cannot compare to Vishnu. We worship Lord Vishnu, but our deity is Krishna. Especially, because Krishna, only Krishna can give us
Krishna Prem, that love of God that exists in Golok. Golok here, Prema Dara Harinam Sankirtana. Third offense, disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Well, I said a lot already about the spiritual master. He's our friend, so we can talk about it. When there's an order which is too much, we can talk about it. Yeah. Fourth offense, to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. So we're respecting all Vedic literature. And there's so many Vedic literature. There is Upaveda, such as Jyotish Shastra, Vastu Shastra, Ayurveda. It is mundane. It is not transcendental. We respect it though, because it is from Vedic origin. But we know it's not important. And more important is scripture that deals with transcendence, with devotional, especially with devotional service. So therefore we see in this yajna, we see four books present, namely the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nectar of Devotion, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And these, the Nectar of Devotion is giving us many excerpts from many scriptures of Pancharatrik tradition, establishing the conclusions of bhakti. A lot of evidence in the Nectar of Devotion is from the Bhagavatam. And so it particularly points to bhakti and is like the handbook of bhakti. Bhagavad Gita, the summary of bhakti. The Srimad Bhagavatam is directly describing about Krishna. Yeah. You cannot neglect to read Srimad Bhagavatam. So, yeah, well, I'd rather read Bhagavad Gita because it's only one book. No, the Bhagavatam must be read also. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in Assam. And at that time, there was an earth tremor. And they were doing a program on the bank of the Ganga. But fortunately, the hole was high. But suddenly, it created a flash wave in the Ganga. And it's like, out of nowhere, a flood. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gave then a lecture on the Mahapralaya, the final destruction when the whole universe is getting inundated. And he was saying that if that happens, what will you take? You'll take Bhagavad Gita, you'll take the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But when it gets too heavy, which book will you let go? So you can let Bhagavad Gita go. Then you walk with Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So then, if that gets too heavy, then you can let the Bhagavatam go. Because the Chaitanya Charitamrita, from there you can restore everything. All the conclusions of the other scriptures are in there. And more. So in that way, we have the main books of our Sampradaya. And we should read them. We should read them all. And not only the sannyasis. I read them all when I was a householder, and I'm not the only one. He read them all, and many others read them all, because these are our shelter. Without it, we'll be hard. We need to read these books. That's why they're present today, as to add to the importance of them. The fifth offense is in the glories of chanting Hare Krishna as imagination. Through this chanting, one can attain everything. One can attain the spiritual world and love of God. It works. It always. So don't think it doesn't work. It works, even when we don't see, as I said, even when the mind is not peaceful, still the heart gets purified. Even when we have no taste to chant, still we get the mercy. So therefore we should keep that in mind. Sixth offense gives some interpretation of the holy name. Lord Chaitanya didn't like many complicated explanations. Balabharacharya volunteered, and Lord Chaitanya said, as I'm concerned, the name of Krishna means Nandanandan or Yasodanandan, the son of Nanda or the son of Yasoda, and that's all that I know. Yeah. I know no many meanings of the holy name. Yeah. It's simple. It's Krishna, the all-objective Supreme Lord, Hare, Ladini Shakti, the service attitude, Rama, Ramanti Yogino, Late Satchananda Chidatmani, transcendental happiness. By serving Krishna, the all-attractive, one becomes fixed in lasting happiness. Satchananda, always true. Then seven offense commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. The holy name is not mechanical. It's not just some process that you chant. And I said the other day that after 1 million names, suddenly you get enlightened, you know, and that is guaranteed. No, the holy name is service to Krishna. And when Krishna is satisfied, then he will give us his mercy. So it always depends on the satisfaction of Krishna. So when we are behaving nicely, and when we are chanting nicely, these two combined, that will please Krishna. But if we chant and then commit so many sinful activities in our behavior, then we are hypocrites. Then Krishna will withdraw his mercy, and you chant and chant and chant, and no result. So that is there. Your little boat is filling up. Putting many things now, but it's all there. We'll give you on the boat a little recording as well, so while you're out there you can play it again, because I know it's a lot to remember. But the eighth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic ceremonies offered in the Vedas, fruitive activities of karma kanda. Fruitive activities, karma kanda activities are rituals that solve our material problems. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna, how can these things happen to me? I'm chanting so much. How can this misfortune come upon me?